I don't think you young people realize how much it blesses us to hear your testimonies. You really don't realize it. It really goes into our hearts. Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yes.
Oh, louder? Okay.
Amen.
Yes. And so keep what the Lord is doing for you. That's so important. Keep whatever, big, little, in between, whatever He's doing for you in your time here, hold on to it, because when you go home, you'll be able to give something to somebody that's of the Lord, and no matter what situation you're going into. And so I was very encouraged just to hear these testimonies, very encouraged. So thank you very much for being brave, even though we called you out on it, but thank you so much. And we thank the Lord for that. There's special people here with us tonight. And I was really taken back this afternoon, a couple times actually since I've been here, as we gathered in front of the palace and we're waiting to go in. And you see the little children all gathered around. I'm sure you've all noticed that, right? And I thought it would be very appropriate for us tonight to, because they're always singing our songs, right? And but let's sing, if you'll join me tonight, let's sing a song that may be more familiar with to them, okay? And I was thinking when I was watching, they were all holding hands, going around a circle, and I thought of that song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. You remember that one, don't you? You want to join with me in that, okay? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And how about this one? This is one that the Lord used really in my life when I came to Him, because I had some background in church for a little while in my life. And when I was in Sunday school, I learned this song, which you all know, that that Jesus loves me. And it was amazing that when I came to the Lord on the Sunday that I came into church, I hadn't been there for ages, and the choir, the adult choir, that was the song that they chose to sing that day. Of all the songs, right, that an adult choir could sing for a morning worship, they sang, Jesus Loves Me. And God was reminding me of that love when I was a little kid. So things that are happening here for the campers that we've been praying about, you don't know what little seed, what it is that's going into them, that's going to stay, and then, bam, you know, it gets watered, and then the Lord causes the growth. So let's sing that one. Will you join me with that? Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him be.
Well, I'd like to speak to you tonight on three things. I'd like to, and a little bit of what I shared already the other day about paying attention.
But I would like you to pay attention because I want to encourage you, and that's my second thought, to be happy.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Right. Pay attention because I'd like to encourage you to be happy. And we think, happy brother Woody, you know, we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. You know, we don't talk about happiness that much. And I have the joy of the Lord, and I may not have to be happy about it, but I have the joy of the Lord. You know, some people come off that way, but the Lord wants us to be happy, and that's being glad, and to have the gladness of the Lord. And but we have to pay attention to his work and his life in us and what he's saying to us for us to enjoy that. And we sang a song a little bit, and I'd like to go to there for the idea of paying attention. Now, I've been doing some study because that's been one of my words or phrases that I've been dwelling on lately. And so as I do some research on it, I was looking at this, and I'll show you, and maybe you students here will appreciate this, a definition of paying attention. Okay, it's to listen to, watch, or consider something or someone very carefully. Okay, you got that? To listen, watch, consider something or someone very carefully. That's what it is to pay attention. And it gave a few things for those who need to pay attention in class a little better. Maybe you struggle with that, or you struggled. And it gave some ideas that, well, you should prepare before class if you want to pay attention better. If you should find a better environment if you want to pay attention better. Participate in class. Take notes. Do extra research. Develop a routine. So these were some of the things that I was looking at as I looked at this phrase and this idea of paying attention. But I thought about, well, in order for me to pay attention, I have to know that the Lord pays attention to me. And he does. He does pay attention to us. And we sang it in a song here. Do you remember that song we just sang just a little while ago? Well, we sang the chorus of it. And it's from Psalm 40, and it's verse 17. And do you remember what we were singing? What is it, sister?
Thou thinkest,
Lord, of me. And it says in verse 17, verse 16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me, which can also be read that the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And the Lord has already told us that he is very mindful of us and our needs, where we're at, what's going on in our lives. He's very mindful of that. And so if he pays attention to us, we should pay attention to him, shouldn't we? We should realize, okay, God, you've already shown us that you care for us. Now, there's an interesting story which uses those words in Acts chapter 3. And you can turn there if you like. I'll just read the little portion of the story there. And it concerns when Peter and John were going to the temple. Very familiar, I'm sure, to you. And they were going up to the temple to pray. And there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, being carried along, and he used to sit down at the gate every day at the temple, which is called Beautiful, at the gate Beautiful, and he was there to beg, right? He was there to beg for alms, for gifts. So when he saw Peter and John go into the temple, he began to ask them, right? He seen them coming in. That was what his gig was. He wanted to see if he could get something. And so, as they came, he began to ask them. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us. Look at us. Pay attention. Pay attention." And it says that he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. You know, it's a good thing, isn't it, that when you do give attention to something, that you can expect to receive. And that's what God's trying to do in us all the time. Get our attention so that we will receive. We hear it in the testimonies. Did you pay attention to the testimonies tonight? Yes. And when you do, didn't you receive something? Oh, it was wonderful. And so this man, you know, he didn't have any idea what he was going to get. He just thought it was going to be some cash. But look what he wound up getting, right? Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he even helped him in his attention. He raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright, began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What a reward for paying attention. What a reward for paying attention. He could have just, like, I don't see them reaching into their pockets, so let me see the next one coming by and see if they're ready to reach into their pockets and hand me something. I'm sure you've seen people on the street begging, and that's what they do. They look to see if you're reaching into your pocket or you're ready to respond to them as they beg. And, but he just listened to them. He paid attention when they said, "Hey, fix your gaze on us. Look at us." And the Lord would say to us, "Look on us. Fix your gaze. Pay attention to me."
Thank you.
So, do you believe that when you pay attention, that it can be rewarding to you?
Amen.
Do you think that? Yeah, good. You keep that thought system, Marie. You hold on to that, because there could be a reward later, okay? But I'd like to encourage you too. And Brother Keith brought up a passage earlier today, not this evening, and it was from 1 Samuel. And it was the story about David when he was he's on the run from Saul, King Saul, and he found himself in the wrong camp. He was in the camp of the Philistines, but it seemed to be a safe place for him at the time because Saul was after him and most of Israel, and he only had 600 men, women and children also, that were in alliance with him. And so he lived within the Philistines, the very enemy of God. The one who he defeated their champion, Goliath, he lived with them. And he was actually there for almost 2 years. And so a day came, right? And I hope you know the story a little bit. A day came when the Philistines were going to battle Israel again. And David was going along with them. That was bad news, because he was getting involved in a fight that he shouldn't have been involved in. And fortunately, though, God prevented that from happening, because when they went to set up for battle, the other kings, the other Philistine kings, said, "What is he doing with us? Are you kidding me?" He said, right in the middle of the battle, he's going to turn on us, and that will be a good way to get back into Saul's graces, good graces again. "No, he can't come with us," the other Philistine king said. So the king that did like him, Achish, he said, "Oh, David, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go back to where you're staying. And they won't let you fight with us, even though I believe that you'd be faithful in this fight with me." So he sent him back home. And they lived in a little town in the Philistine territory called Ziklag. And so when they got back there, do you remember the story? When they had left to go fight, the Amalekites had come and taken all the women and the children, everything. The animals took it all, the whole town, and burned the town down. And when they got back there, is what Brother Keith was referring to earlier, the men were overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And you would be too, right? And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that David and the people were with him when they came back and they seen that everything was gone, everything. It says they lifted up their voices and they wept until there was no strength in them to weep. What a feeling that must have been, to cry. And you ever felt like that? You cry until there's nothing left in you. You're just exhausted from the crying, from the sorrow that you feel. And that's where they were at. And then it tells you that who was taken, and David's two wives who were taking. But moreover, it says, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one of them, because of his sons and his daughters. Just think about that. You know, we have a few small children here, and you come back, and your little five-year-old's gone, you know, or your 15-year-old daughter's gone. How heartache they felt when they came upon that situation. So, they were embittered, each one, because of his sons and daughters. But it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Or another word is encouraged. He encouraged himself. And I thought, how did he get there? What is it that takes us there to say, in the midst of this situation that I'm in, how am I going to get there? You know, to encourage myself in the Lord, especially. Well, now he's not only suffering his own personal loss, he's being threatened by his men who are so torn up about the situation. Everything's against you. Everything's against you at that point. But I'd like you to look at a psalm, and it's Psalm 73, and it's verse 28. And I believe this is at least one of the thoughts that David had to help encourage himself. Because where was he going to look to at this point? He wasn't getting it from his men, the people around him. They were in a sorrowful state, and they were talking of stoning him. It had to be something from down within him that he had learned. Something that had happened to him in his walk with the Lord that he held on to. And now this was a crucial moment for him to let it be a real experience in his life. And it says there, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. There was nothing good about the situation. Nothing good about it at all. But he says, but as for me, do you see that personal and application there? And someone mentioned it in their testimony, that it's personal, how personal it is. And that's what he's saying here. But as for me, and the Lord wants us to be encouraged about that when things are going wrong, when things are out of control, that we say to encourage, but as for me. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good, because he's mindful of us. He's mindful of us. He's paying attention to the situation that we're in. And David says, I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So, you could see David had been paying attention to the Lord, because when he got into this situation, that everything that you could really humanly possibly think of that was against him was there. It was, he had no support at this point. And but yet he drew on the nearness of God. And isn't that wonderful that we can always count that God will draw near to us? We may not have other people always drawing near to us because of what's going on, but God will always draw near to us. He will always draw near. We can take that to the bank. You know, you can take that and say, God, whenever I get into a situation, I can count that you will be near. You will be near. So we see he had learned to pay attention. He learned to be encouraged. And as I mentioned, do you think that you could be encouraged, or you could, that there's, you could be happy from that? That God wants you to bring you happiness, gladness in that situation. You know what I found also interesting in that story is how David also react. You notice, and this is just a, not my main point, but in that story, this is my personal bewilderment when I look at this story. Maybe you've noticed this aspect about that story when David was in that situation. When he, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord, that then the next thing he did, he sought the Lord for direction. And he asked an interesting question of the Lord. Now remember, he shouldn't have been in the situation that he was in because he shouldn't have been with the Philistines, right? And we don't see a record of him praying, Lord, should I be with these guys? He was just trying to get out of harm's way of Saul. And this was a safe place for him at the time. But we don't read that he actually said, Lord, is this where you want me? Is this a safe place for me? So now, though, after the kid, everyone's taken, his wives, his kids. And after it says he's encouraged himself in the Lord, he got to Abiathar the priest in verse 7, and he says, please bring me the ephod. And that was the way they sought the Lord. And so Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David, and look at this question. Look at this question. It says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? I cannot understand that. If my kids and my wife was taken, it would not be like, what am I going to do now? It would be like, get me on my horse and sharpen my sword and go after them. That would be the initial reaction that I would want. It would be like, I can't let something happen to them. I'm going after them. But that's not what David did he? Did you see that? He asked the Lord, shall I go after this band? Because he realized he needed God's help. He needed the nearness of God in such a way that he needed a specific answer now to this problem that was way beyond his abilities, way beyond. And shall I overtake him? And the Lord said, pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall rescue all. And isn't it wonderful that there's a great song that hopefully we'll get to, but one of the lines says about how that Satan got us into trouble, but Jesus got us out. You know, and sometimes when we don't realize the enemy leads us in a way and we think it's good and it's a safe way, and that's where we need to be because we're not being hounded right now by the things that are affecting us and bothering us. And so he chose to live there, but it wasn't the place that he needed to be. But God got him out of it. And God will always get us out of wrong decisions that we've made. When we pay attention and we realize, okay, you made a mistake here. you didn't really see where I wanted you, or you forgot to ask, or you weren't looking to me like you should have. But I can get you out of this. I can get you out of this jam. And we shouldn't try to get out ourselves, should we? Oh, when we try to get out ourselves, we wind up sometimes in more trouble. So I'll go back to my first question. By paying attention and being encouraged, do you think it could make us happy? Do you think the Lord wants us happy? Now, we sang a number of songs over the last couple days that actually use those phrases about being happy in the Lord. Okay? Maybe you never take notice to them some. We sang one this morning. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Or how about at the cross we sang when we had communion? Anybody remember the line from there? I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Okay? How about blessed assurance? Blessed assurance. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. The Lord wants us to be happy. Amen. You know, it's not just trying to be spiritual. I have the joy of the Lord. And that's, we want the joy of the Lord. But, you know, we're to be happy about what God's done for us and let that show and communicate that. So, I want to have a little fun here, okay? Maybe I've been a little boring, but I'll have a little fun. So, I have some questions, okay? Some questions. Let me see. You know, I gave a testimony the other day about my son. Do you remember that? Remember speaking about this, my son, and how that he, because I wasn't paying attention, that he was in the walker, and he went, and I had opened the basement door to get the broom out, and I'm over there sweeping up, and then, not paying attention to what it should have been, he was by the door, and he went down the basement steps. Does anybody remember how many steps that I said? Sean, 12. Man, there's a winner there, huh? Can I have that bag? Well, Sean, look. You reach in there, buddy, and you get something. Oh, there you go. Oh, this is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what we got. Let me cross that one off. Okay. Let me cross that one off. All right. I also spoke about how the Lord helped me when I was when my wife had cancer, and I had bought this plaque. I was down in Virginia at this Christmas shop. Okay, remember talking about that? Okay, and it had a little phrase on it. Sean, oh, look at this guy.
No,
man. He wants one for the other hand. But there had a little motto on it. Does anybody remember what it said? Okay, I see. Lisa.
God works in moments.
God works in moments. All right, come here. Lisa, you get the pick out of the bag. All right. She was paying attention. All right, that's good. That's good. We're getting there. All right, let's try another one. How about this morning, how many R's were in Brother Key's story about Hezekiah? Well, James.
Five R's.
Of them. Can you name them?
All right. You have to ask me if
one's,
I can
one's
name.
Restore.
One's restore.
One's rejoice.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed to answer. Good. Cheater. What did he was?
Jesus. What's the other one?
Organized.
Thank you, Sister Julia.
Realization.
I think Sister Julia deserves one.
Yes, that's right.
She deserves two candies for that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll pray. Come
that's
on.
That's okay.
All right, she's being generous. Very good. Okay. Paying attention, there's rewards, isn't there? I hope you're happy with that. Okay. How about this? I named some of the steps to have better attention skills. Can anybody remember one of them? Ooh, man. Oh, I'm sorry, sis, what's your name?
Nikki.
What was one of them, Nikki? Take notes. There you go. She took a note of what I said. All right, what was yours?
Beforehand.
Very good. I hope this is making you happy.
There was more than one more,
brother, but you're excluded out of this. Because I think you can look over my shoulder here and see my hands. Okay, how about this? Now, before I go on any further, why is it that the Lord wants us to be happy? And how do we get that? What is it about the Lord? There's something that's very important that's said about him in the book of Hebrews. And when you look in the first chapter, what the writer to the book of Hebrews is trying to do is, and if you think of this, when you read the book of Hebrews, whenever you do, that the key word is the word better through the whole book. Better. And so the writer is trying to bring out what the things about the Lord, more detail about him, because the Christians that he was writing to had started to slide back into Judaism again. So in recording about the Lord, it says this, and there's a lot of scripture, but I only bring out the one that's, this is what the writer is saying is the definition and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." The oil of gladness. And you know, everything that we receive in the Lord, everything is in him, isn't it? We say that. And I know there's one of the signs around the camp. There it is. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. What is he? He's all your what? Is he all your happiness? Is he all your encouragement? Is he all that you need him to be in every situation? Because he can be your happiness if he is, if he's anointed with it, he has it. We don't have to be down in the dumps. I remember that was a little phrase that Sister Caroline spoke one time in the meeting to us. We talk about these deliverances that we need in our lives and addictions and things, but she mentioned this time, what about these dumps that we get into sometimes, our moods? We get very moody and we get very irritable sometimes over nothing, minor things. Things didn't go my way today. I didn't like that. I didn't like this. Where we should have joy, gladness. God's after us. So maybe you don't feel happy. Say, Lord, you have that oil of gladness. And maybe I need to be drenched with it today. Maybe I need that anointing of your oil on me today. Look to him for it. If you look for healing, for anything else, direction in your life, wisdom in your life, don't exclude joy and happiness. It's his to give. He owns it. It's the oil that he will anoint us with. And Brother Keats has been really trying to help us that way. with encouraging us to express praise to the Lord. So, let me get back to my questions here. In the story I read about the Peter and John in Acts 3, what was the lame man's name? Anybody know? What was his name? Huh? No hands? Who? Oh, what was his name?
Lazarus.
Lazarus, okay. Well, that was a trick question that I gave you, but that's okay, because it doesn't mention his name.
But because she was brave enough
to
give a vote there. How about one for your sister?
Happiness! Did you hear that? Happiness! No reservations there. Do you have any reservations? Do you? Jesus, you're so good to me. I want to praise your name. I don't want to hold it back. You just gave me something. And I like it. Thank you, Lord. You just gave me peace. You just gave me direction, Lord. And I like it, and I'm thankful, and I'm happy that you just did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you helped me out with this problem. I was confused. I didn't know what to do. Thank you so much. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Express it. Give God the glory. I mentioned the other day, and I'll close with this, and I know it's gotten late, that our tongues, the word tongue and the word glory, are synonymous with each other. Okay? And when Peter was preaching to the people in Acts, he quoted Psalm 16. And in Psalm 16, it says, "Let your heart be glad and your glory rejoice." And then when Peter repeats it, he says, "Let your heart be glad and let your tongue rejoice." So tongue and glory, tongue and glory. We get the chance by God's Spirit to glorify the Lord with our tongues. But we need the Holy Spirit. And that's really, out of everything tonight, we need the Holy Spirit. And when we were praying for the campers with Brother George and the rest of the staff that are down there now, right? And what was the theme that they sang that night? On the song, sail on, right? Who's ever gone sailing? Anybody? Yeah. What do you need to go sailing? Besides the boat. Who said that? Yes, wind. We need the wind. How can we go sailing without the wind? I was out with Brother Tom and he was out there, and you had to keep tacking it to catch the wind, you know. And it's no different. What has the Lord been saying to us? What is he doing so that we want to catch that wind? What the Spirit of God is saying to us. Lord, let me catch that. Do I need to focus a little better over here, pay attention this way, so that I catch your Spirit wanting to move me on further in God? We need the Spirit of God. Yes. And God wants to give us His Spirit. And there's nothing hindering that. You don't have to be like a super saint. You don't have to be in the Lord like a long time. You can be a very short time in the Lord. You don't have to know a lot of Bible verses. You just have to want Him. And Lord, give me your Spirit. I need your Spirit, Lord. And when I was filled with the Spirit, I was in a situation where I had really didn't believe anything about that. And I had shut my mind off to the whole idea. But then the Lord had said a word that I understood very good to help me get past that hurdle. He says, well, what do you really know? And I have to admit, I didn't really know too much. So that kind of like cut my legs out. And I said, well, I mean, I better start reading the Bible and find out. I just didn't like the idea, the thought of what I was hearing. So after I was convinced, oh, I sought the Lord. But nothing was happening. Nothing. And so I just gave up. I said, I'm not even going to think about this anymore, about being filled with the Spirit. I'm just going to let this thing go. But then I was in a service in the morning, and the pastor, he didn't preach about the Holy Spirit, but he was inviting us all to come back that night for an altar service. And he said, and come back tonight and be filled with the Spirit. That's all he said. And I was in the balcony at that time, and it was like an arrow came at me. Bam! Yeah, why don't I just come and be filled with the Spirit? Why do I got to keep arguing about this and fighting it in my mind and everything? Just come and be filled with the Spirit. So we had gone to visit my in-laws later after church, and then I said, I didn't tell Mary. I said, oh, I want to go back to church tonight. I don't want to go back to church. I want to make sure I'm there, but I want to pick up my mom. So we picked up my mom, and service went on, and the pastor preached about, you know, that the fullness of the Spirit is there for us, and so on. And then he invited us down the altar, and so we're down the altar, right? And I'm down the altar. I'm thinking, this is it. Lord, I heard you this morning. Come and be filled with the Spirit, right? And I'm not getting anything. I'm just like, nothing, you know, just like, Lord, I don't understand this, you know, I'm just sawing wood, but nothing's happening. But my mom was sitting in, I was kneeling at the altar, my mom's sitting in a row behind me, in the first row. Now, she didn't have a clue, honestly, she had no clue about any of this, but she was praying for me. She said, and later on, she said, I don't know what was going on with you, but I just thought I'd start praying for you, you know. So she's praying for me, and all of a sudden, bam, my mom starts like making all kind of noises and praising the Lord, and I'm like, what? And I'm on my knees, and I look behind, and I said, I can't believe this. Here I've been struggling all this time, right? I can't believe this. And the dear pastor's wife comes down beside her and sits with her, and she's just praising the Lord and speaking in other tongues and, you know, just making all kinds of wonderful noises and faces. And I just was looking at her thinking, I don't believe this. You know, like here I am, I'm all geared up and it's not happening. And this dear sister came down and she got beside me and she said, you know, you can have what your mother has. And I was ready to tell her, yeah, I know, because I just studied the Bible and I got this and I understood it and all. I was ready to tell her. And something stopped me. Just like that, just stopped me. And she said, well, just praise the Lord. Just thank Him. And I said, okay, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And I would like to tell you to do that. Next time you get alone with the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. Because then I just started to thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing else in my mind. I'm just going to thank the Lord. Because He is so good. The nearness of God is my good. And the Lord came and met me. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. His Spirit coming and the oil came. The oil of gladness came and drenched me. And then someone else down the line who was praying, Sister Irene Walsh, the Lord comes on her. And you know, the Lord wants us to be happy, and He has the oil of gladness for us, each one of us. And maybe we have some sadness in our life right now over some things, and some discouragement, and some worry over things. And the enemy has convinced you, or has convinced someone you love, that there's no hope. But the oil of the Lord The oil of gladness can take that all away and can make us happy in Him.